Psalm 37. As you look in verse 1 of Psalm 37, the Bible says there, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." As we look in these verses tonight, I want to preach a question to you. I'm going to use the question as a title, and I'm going to go ahead and forewarn you. I'm going to use the question to conclude with. Okay? You ready? Are you in or out? Are you in or out? That's real simple, right? Everybody got that. So listen, as we look in Psalm 37, that little word "in" that kept popping up all the way through this thing, trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord all the way through there, is what is called an adverb. And what it says in the dictionary about it, it expresses movement that results in being enclosed or surrounded by something. And the something that it reflects on is the Lord. So all those things is in, is describing the action word before it to be enclosed in the thing that comes after it. Are you in or out? Amen. Okay. The first verb we look at, before we get into that, by way of introduction, look at verse 1. I think this is very fitting right now with everything going on around us. Fret not thyself because of what? Well, preacher, I don't understand. People don't do right. They just seem to get by and get by. And? Yeah. Been going on quite a long time they've been doing that. Yeah. So, yeah, they've been up there in White House. Oh, I wasn't talking about the White House. I was talking about since Genesis chapter 3. Yeah. They was two evildoers showed up there just right after that. One of them's name, I believe, was Cain. Yep. When somebody says, "I love you like a brother," that scares me to death. Seriously, I mean, look what happened to them two brothers. I mean, they were related and everything. "You love me like a brother." Okay. Do I need to hire bodyguards or something? I mean, you know, take out my insurance and leave it to my wife or what? Is she in on this thing too? You know, in Gaffney, we say that we love you like a brother to our spouse and everything. But we do that down here. It's natural. The rest of the world is a sin. But anyway. I look at this thing, he said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." He said, "Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." So you got people that's just straight out evildoers, and they know what they're doing. And then the workers of, of iniquity, which reflects on somebody who's basically working from that sinful nature and appealing to that sinful nature and letting it run wild. And they do the thing. According to, it says, against the workers of iniquity. There are some people out there who just work towards pleasing the flesh and making the flesh more sinful. He said, "Fret not thyself because of them." He said, "Don't be envious of that crowd." And people will say, "Well, I don't understand why this, and this." Don't worry. God's got them people marked just like he's got you marked. He's got you marked with a seal to know he is. And those people that act like that, when they reject Christ, guess what? He marks them, but it's over for them. Yeah. Listen, they may do all kind of evil doing. They may work all kind of iniquity from the flesh. They may do all that. But there's a day coming in which they will regret every second of their life. Yeah. You say, "Will that be when they go to hell?" No, it'll be way past that. It'll be after they have to stand up in front of you and the rest of heaven and give an account of every second of their life, from their thoughts, their words, their deeds, everything they've done, everything they thought, and everything they said. And they do that with you as an audience sitting there waiting to hear the whole thing. When you die lost, after you go to hell, death, hell, and grave are delivered up before the great white throne judgment, and everybody starts giving account. I don't know how it's going to go for all the lost people, but I know how it's going to end for every one of them. They're going to bow their knee and say, Jesus Christ is the Lord, according to the glory of God. And then God's going to pronounce them and put them in the lake of fire where they'll spend eternity.
Mercy.
Now, that's a sad way to go.
Yes, Lord.
By the way, if you just heard what I just said, I'm not envious of them anymore. I don't care. Listen, I don't care. You can't give me Bill Gates money. I see what kind of problems go with it.
Yeah.
I had a man talking today. I listened to a man give a lecture on a college campus. There's people, he kept giving open mics to talk to me. Well, we believe that you're a fascist. He said, really? What's a fascist? You are. Well, define fascist. And it was silent.
Yeah, really.
If that's the brightest and best coming up, we're in a world of trouble.
Yep.
Give us back the welders, the bricklayers, and the carpenters, and the auto mechanics. The millwrights and all them, and the produce guys. Yeah, I forgot about that. Give us back the guys that'll have six holding a shovel while one actually uses one.
Amen.
Over that crowd.
Yeah. That's right.
That's sad. Mm-hmm. That is really sad. And when they would try to argue the deeper things of what was going on, it was like, where do you get your brains from? A Fruit Loop box? I mean, they just had no clue. I don't know about you, but back in 1987, they came around to the high school, and you had to take two different tests. One of them was called an ASVAB. That was a test for the military, where to see if you qualified, if you had enough brains to go in the military.
Yep.
Anybody remember that?
Yep.
And then you had to take this other exam, showed whether you had enough brains to go to college.
Yep.
They quit taking the second one. If I was going to call you a name, I'd at least know what it meant. If I said, you are a fascist, I'd know what a fascist is. You know what I found out? Everybody that's saying that don't know what it means. And that, if you don't know what it means, could it be possible that you're being ruled by them and not know it?
How about that?
They're evildoers. They're workers of iniquity.
Come on.
But I learned a quote a while back, and I want to share it with you. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. History teaches that men don't learn from history. Do y'all know what World War I was fought over? Of course you don't. You didn't learn from history because we had a World War II. It's because of fascism. World War II was fought over. Same thing. We're headed towards World War III because of. Same thing. But to make it sound sweet, they call it socialism. But the ruler of the thing's not a dictator. He's a. There we go. Now, y'all will forget that in time for World War III, though. But isn't that crazy?
Amen.
I got to looking at that, and I thought, man, I ain't worried about that, about what's going on, because I know this. When we get to the end of it, God's got everything all under control.
Right.
Yes. He said it'll be well with our soul here and there. All we got to do is just trust him, follow up, be obedient to his word. He'll take care of all the details.
Amen.
You say, do you believe that? I slept all night because of that last night.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning and I had missed my 3 o'clock bathroom trip. And I thought it was 3 o'clock and it was actually time to get up. You don't know how disappointed I was. You really don't know. I was so ready to go back to sleep when I got up and I realized what time it was. And I thought, this is just sad. I've been mad all day. Can you believe that? Yeah, I didn't get my second nap. But I look at this passage of scripture, though, back to the serious stuff here. I see all the verbs that are laid out here that goes with that, that the adverb magnifies to tell us what we're going to be surrounded by and who we're going to be surrounded by. In verse number 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You see that word trust? That's the verb that thing magnifies. The Lord's who we're going to be surrounded by. And trust is literally a firm belief in somebody. We trust in the Lord. Because of that, verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I watched my grass. I waved bye to it a while ago, and I mean I waved bye to it. You know why? Its day's coming. So which day is that? I'm going to be like the Lord. I'm not telling nobody, not even my only begotten son back there. But when I get ready, I'm going to say, let's go get it. It's going to be coming on like a hurricane. right?
Amen.
You know, when you cut grass, when you get a chance. Some of you need to get a chance.
Come on.
I ain't rode by none of your houses, but I felt conviction when I said that thing, I'm telling you. Brother Ben, is it you? I'm going to call names. Brother Trey, is it you? Where's the conviction coming? Which one is it in here? Somebody here. Somebody's pointing at Mike. Is it you, brother? Is it you? Okay. Brother Randy, look up here. We're not praying, son. Is it you? I mean, I'm looking around. I'm feeling it. I only ain't caught on one. That's because he keeps staring at me like he's guilty. That'd be you. And see, you trust in the Lord because he's going to come along and with that judgment take care of all that.
Amen.
But here's the other reason why you trust in him. If you'll hold your place here and look over at Proverbs chapter 3. He said, trust in the Lord, right?
Amen.
If your Bible said trust in the Lord, it means trust in the Lord. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. We can get over in Proverbs 3, and he magnifies that trust in the Lord statement. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And here's my favorite part. And lean not to thy own understanding. You know why you don't lean to your own understanding? That's what you got you in a mess you're in right now.
Amen.
He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That reflects back to Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. If we trust him, we trust his word, he will show us exactly what to do. And he says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Yeah.
So here's my marching orders.
Yep.
Don't make this hard on yourself. Listen. God has this thing under control.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about anything. He has everything taken care of. We got to be in, not out.
Right.
And if we trust in the Lord, we're saying, Lord, we're going to let you surround us. We're going to let you guide us. We're going to let you be our reward. We're going to be surrounded by you. We are in Christ. And I mentioned this thing the other day in Colossians 3 when I sent your devotion out to you the other day. In Colossians chapter 3, it says over here, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm going to quit asking people, are they saved? I'm going to quit asking them, are they born again? Everybody knows what that means. And they'll lie to your face about it. But I'm going to start asking this, when did you die? When did you die? He said you're dead. If you're not dead, you're still alive. You're still kicking somewhere. Listen, when did you die to self? When did you die to sin? Well, I got saved, but I didn't do this, this, and this. Well, that sounds like a bunch of religious works, so you're not dead, are you? You see what I'm saying there? I found out something a while back, and it's been probably 50 years since this happened to me. If you don't watch your children, Brother John told me a secret last night. He said, when that one starts talking, that little one, to that sister and gets mama's attention, the chaos ensues and Waylon sneaks off. That's what he told me. Is that what you said? He ain't the only one. I used to do that. I snuck off at the funeral home up there at Shuford and Hatcher's main funeral home one time. Thank God I didn't wander into the embalming room or I'd have probably dropped dead myself. But I went to a far worse place. He said, worse than anybody? Oh, yes, for a four-year-old. I snuck up them stairs, and that carpet was so thick, I just snuck, and nobody could hear my feet going. Then I saw him looking around looking for me. I thought, I got that crowd. I walked in a room, I had caskets in it, and I didn't know them things was dummies in there. I thought it was a bunch of dead bodies in there. That's where they went there and showed you, we got this model. And I looked in there, and I thought I was in there surrounded by dead men. You'd have thought I'd been okay knowing it was all dead. I just watched Dracula the day before.
Oh.
I ain't talking about them sodomite vampires that's on their mother's. I'm talking about that real Dracula, Bela Lugosi, one that's real scary,
right.
That one. And yeah, it's black and white and scary. And I watched that thing, and all I could see was black hair and pale skin. I thought, oh, no, I'm surrounded by them. So how did they find you? The screams.
That's right.
I was 4 years old. I was surrounded. But I found out this when I screamed, the adults came.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord. Lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. What have I got to scream for now? Help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth. It says in Psalm 12. surrounded. Elijah said, you're not surrounded. So God's got us. You ain't got to worry about this army up here, his associate there. He said, Lord, open his eyes, let him see. And God let him see a bunch of horses and a bunch of warriors out there that the human eye couldn't see. Somebody said, is there animals in heaven? They sure was that. They come from somewhere. We coming back on some.
Yep.
And I know this. He had them surrounded, and he's got you surrounded.
Yep. Amen.
Well, now we live in New Testament times, and yeah, same way in Old Testament too.
Yep.
Listen to this. When Job was getting the attention of the devil, and God asked the devil, so where you been? He said, I've been checking out your servant, Job. He said, I see you got a hedge about him. Well, you do. You trust in the Lord. What did the Lord tell Job he could do? I'll let you do this, this, and this, but you can't do this. And that was all. Job hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, he'd done everything right. You can do everything right and suffer. It may be God wants to show the devil that you belong to him, that you ain't going to fall for his stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Yeah. Back over in Psalm 37. Listen to this one. We've got to trust in the Lord. That's the first verb. The second verb is in verse 4. This is Brother Carter's life verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself. Delight means to please greatly. Who are we trying to please greatly? The Lord. Whatever he says do, if we'll do that thing, he'll not only let us see it happen, he'll see us delighting ourselves in him, but then he'll turn around and give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
But there is a catch. When you're delighting yourself in him, this changes. There is a difference.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard people say, They've actually called my phone and said these words, will you pray for me to win the lottery? Well, I know what you told them, preacher. There's no way. I said 50%. They said, don't you think that's a little bit much? I said, you have nothing, and if you get $500 million, you won't miss $250 million. And when you run out, I'll still have $225 million. I am going to tithe off of it. I mean, that'd be stupid not to, right? I might even go $50 million on my tithe. Who knows? Just double her up. You know why? God's that good, I wouldn't worry about it. But see, the problem with folks is doing that, they're not delighting themselves in the Lord now, and they're not getting the desires of their heart because they're not trying to please him. They're trying to please themselves. I used to have two uncles. And they used to drive down to Georgia to buy lottery tickets every Friday. One died and never won, and the other one's still alive and has never won. I don't think he goes no more. The sad thing is this. I don't even think they scratched off and won $10 on either trip they made, any of them. I used to hate when they first brought them things in because the first thing you'd have to do is sit behind somebody at the counter going, and there'd be five people in line, then you trying to get your gas, and they'd all have a ticket in their hand. And I thought, maybe if I got a ticket, I could break in line and tell them I had a winner. Let me on up there. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
And listen, the devil will give you just enough on them things and let you hear about somebody winning in your town just enough to keep you coming back.
Yep.
But have you ever noticed something? Those people are never a success in life. I believe it. Sister Willie gave me the newspaper clipping what happened to all the big lottery winners. You know the 3.5 billion crowd. Do you know that 98% of them was broke in a year? Donald Trump and Bill Gates can't go through money like that. Not in a year. But you take some dumb thump like us that can't handle what we got now and you dump that in our lab, what are we going to do? Two Dale Earnhardt race cars later in a big old house and we're broke. Because we forget about this part. You know who else saw you win? The IRS did. They're going to come get their part.
Yeah.
Oh, you've already spent it? Well, let's sell what you got so we can get our money.
Yep.
There's a dude pushes a lawnmower up there on the side of the road. You about run over him every time you go up through there. I found out, I don't know how long it's been, he had $300,000 a while back. Gone. Gone. Every dime gone. You can't trust us with money. That's why God don't give it to us. He wants us to delight ourselves in something else. Him.
Yeah, amen.
And looking at that thing about delighting ourselves in Him, look over at Psalm 1. Hold your place here. Look at Psalm 1. We're going to be enclosed and surrounded in the Lord, and we want to please Him greatly, and we want to do what He says. Psalm 1, verse 1. Here's where we at right here. This is our opportunity right here. Blessed is the man. Blessed. This is where you want to be. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You ain't been listening to wrong people, have you? So I trust in people. Well, are they one of two kinds of people. They're just two, godly and ungodly. That's it. Yeah, but you understand now, ungodly people sometimes know that my bro clock's right twice a day. You sound just like a compromiser. You need to quit that. If you're born again, listen, if you're a born again child of God, there's no room for compromisers.
Amen.
He said, blessed they that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. How would you stand in the way of sinners? Oh, I don't know. Maybe listening to ungodly advice, doing things that's wicked, and sinners not being able to get around you and saying, if that's one, I don't be one type thing. Maybe that's them. I don't know. You're standing in the way of them. And then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You can write out beside that word, I believe the word's independent Baptist. That's what you'll write out beside that. We are the most scornful crowd I've ever seen in my life.
Come up.
I ain't being mean. I'm just trying to help you because you are independent. So won't you tell them Southern Baptists? Because they ain't here and you are. Don't worry. When I preach, if I preach to their church, I won't be going back for second service because I'll tell them up there just like it is too. There's the reason why Brother Kirsch and Brother Fame, myself, Brother Chip, we don't get invited them places back. No, we don't get to go back second times and fifth times and tenth times and 20 times. You preach the Bible, they don't want to hear that. And listen, you preach against scorn in the independent Baptist church, you'll hear the pastor get up behind the guy preaching, say, I'm glad I ain't like that. But verse 2, here's our word. But his delight. See that? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, we got to delight ourselves in his law. And by delighting in it, we got to let it surround us. I gave this Bible reading plan to these folks that got saved, and this lady's in heaven now, and this is what she did with it. She wrote on her refrigerator, on one of them little cards, them index cards, this is pre-cell phone. She took a magic marker and wrote on it, right there on the refrigerator door at eye level where you couldn't miss it, do not forget to bless your food. And I thought, well, that's an easy way to remember that, because you go to get something to eat, I need to, Father, whatever you do there. And I promise you, I thought, that's just neat. And then we got sat down at the table, me and my wife and her husband, and there was a card sitting there. Did you forget to bless your food?
Mm.
Like a reminder. And I thought, well, okay, so I guess second blessing can come with second prayings. I don't have a problem with that. And I went to the bathroom, and I half expected to find a card there. Did you bless your food? I expected one. There wasn't one. But there was a little card right up beside it. It said, I don't know if cleanliness is next to godliness in the Bible, but it is in this bathroom. Please flush. I was like. So I finally had to ask. I said, why is all these cards everywhere? She said, well, you preached the other week on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, about how I can win my husband if I live right. Well, I'm putting the word of God everywhere he can see it, and everywhere he messes up, I'm going to get him one way or another. The toilet was flushed before I walked in there. The blessing was said before I got a chance to say it.
Amen.
I thought, man, how cool is this? They took the Bible, took it literally, and she said, I got some Bible questions. I'm waiting for simple things. Oh, no, we was deep in the theology of the minor prophets and stuff I'd never even read for in my life. I didn't know what was going on. I hadn't been pastor maybe a year when all this happened. And she had been reading her Bible, going this. There was little check marks, underlines, and post-its everywhere in her Bible. I did tell you this is a woman, right? Well, guess what? God still uses that.
Right.
Men or women.
Yeah.
And he says about it, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I thought, that's a good reason to do all that, because you stay in that book, God will stay doing things in your life.
Yeah.
He just does that.
A
person that says, I'm gonna follow the Lord and don't open their Bible, won't go very far with the Lord.
Right.
But if you stay in the Bible, God will stay on your track. You delight yourself in Him, all of a sudden, you won't be saying, you'll have.
Amen.
I ain't talking like a prosperity preacher. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about your needs.
Yeah.
You know what your needs are? I don't, but I know you do. You might have to wait a day or two. That's just because God's that good and He's going to bring it in perfect timing.
That's right.
You might have to wait a day or so on something to come in. And, you know, God forbid you order something and the truck goes right to the road beside you and you see it there and it's got to deliver stuff to your house. And then you get an email saying, sorry, delivery's been canceled till tomorrow.
Yep.
But you know what God does? You just sit there and delight yourself in me. I'll make sure it gets there.
Amen.
He'll take care of it.
Right.
You ever wonder, listen, we went to get out in the car the other day and that van tire was flat laying on the ground. So I did what y'all do. I went there and kicked the stupid tire. Why you want to let me down like that, you know? So then I went and got my little thing I'd bought, for emergency pump the tire up thing. But it wasn't charged. Because I forgot to charge it, so we'd be back from Tennessee. It got 11 pounds in there, though. And then I sat there for 30 minutes listening. I was waiting for, nothing. Come home, charge it up, put it on, got the tire blew up. Nothing. Waited 2 days, nothing. So what's wrong? Well, I don't know. I was hoping one of y'all said, I know what it is. The Lord just told me. He told me to tell you this. But none of y'all's doing that, so I'm guessing it. I just know we got here tonight safely.
Yeah.
Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give the desires of thine heart. I'll take safety over that 350 billion whatevers every day.
Yeah.
I'll take safety over walking around listening to ungodly people. Every day.
Amen.
I'll take safety over standing in the way of a sinner coming to the Lord. Every day. Every day. Back over to Psalm 37. Verse 5. He says there, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Our third verb there is commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And to commit literally means to bind yourself or pledge to a course. And knowing that, he said, commit thy way. And it says, to the Lord. So if I'm going to commit my way to the Lord, when I got saved, it's like I've already done that thing, because when I got saved, I said, Lord, will you save me? He saved me. Well, the next logical thing to do is go to heaven, right? There's just a little dash in between from where I got saved and there, because our life's but a vapor. You know what? He's took care of a lot of people before I was born and before I got born again. I've read biographies of men that give their heart to the Lord, women that give their heart to the Lord. I've read song stories of people that gave their heart to the Lord. They gave their life to the Lord, and God took care of them all the way through the thing. It was great. I couldn't believe how the thing turned out. And no matter how it went, and no matter how it ended, God was good the whole time.
Amen.
They learned something that we need to have, and that's commitment.
Yeah.
We have such a lack of loyalty and commitment, it wouldn't take nothing to knock us out of what we're doing. Y'all would die if you come in here and I replaced all the paneling with light gray paneling and white, what do you call them things on the middle there? that molding and trim there. Somebody would say, we didn't vote on it. And we didn't vote on that toilet paper you used a while ago.
Uh-oh.
Ain't nobody complaining about that, are they? Now, I doubt you'd find me tearing all this out by myself and doing it. I'd have to have some accomplices, all you men. But I mean, even if we had a meeting about it and said it, there'd be somebody, well, that ain't the color I like. The man that taught pastoral administration when I went to Bible college the first time was a blind man. Brother McKnight, or Brother Knight. Thought his name was Knight and he was blind. But you know what he said to me? Now, Brother Little, I heard them fussing in my church one time because they changed the carpet from red to green. He said, I don't even know what them things mean. He said, and I don't care. I said, what'd you do, brother? He just laughed. He said, I preached on the one thing I knew was right for him to do. I said, get born again? He said, no. I told him to shut up and stay shut up till I got full of the Holy Ghost. And I thought to myself, that's about right. Fussing over money in a church. Shut up until you get full of the Holy Ghost, then we'll talk about it. I walked out of church and I was 14 because one old, y'all seen that debate the other night? It was like that, two old men, two grumpy old men fighting, you know? Except one of them threw a songbook at the other one. And then the other guy said, I'll knock your head off. And they got their walkers and sticks out and that's coming towards one another. I thought that was the silliest thing I'd ever heard in church, and definitely the most silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. I walked out. I was done. I was never going back. Then I got saved, and now you can't get me to leave.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of lost people playing church. That's where we got our commitment problems from.
Yeah.
He said commit. What's that? Let God take the course. Pledge ourselves to Him in salvation, bind ourselves to Him, and let Him take the whole course of the thing. See right there in verse 23, the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. He'll do that. Lord, will you guide my steps and stops? He said, I sure will. I ran into two guys the other day. They were sitting there, and I was thinking, how could I tell these people about the Lord? And then it hit me. You know what happened? One of them turned around and said, that fella's got a funny suit on over there, don't he? How about you? He said, I wish I had one like that. I said, I don't think it'd fit. I think you're too fat for it. And he laughed, and I said, there's my inroad right there. I pulled out a track, started to, I said, that's one of my deacons. He said, we thought he's a religious man, had him a suit on here and it's hot. I said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You thought he was Yankee Doodle Dandy like I put up on Facebook the other day and began to talk to them guys. God will open up doors if you'll let Him. And listen to me. Commit. Look up at Proverbs 16. Hold your place here. Look at Proverbs 16. The word is commit. There's something you can do as a saved person that will make this a whole lot easier on yourself. You bind yourself, you pledge yourself to God's course, you let Him call the shots, order my steps in thy word, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit, there's the word, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We have got everything in the world trying to get our attention. When's the last time you was on the internet and you didn't see an ad for something you were just talking about? When was that? You're looking on your phone, right? You're trying to hunt something. And you go to hit a thing, and right as you hit it, something pops down. You hit that, and you go into a different app. You know what they know about us that we don't know about us? They know our attention span's about that long, like that. And they know we'll just switch gears and never think. Look at the cute little thing over here. By the way, I hate a subscription to something that's got it digital. If it's a program, I'm going to buy it and be done with it. I don't have to pay every month for it. I don't like that stuff. But you know what they're counting on? Same thing that people down at the gym's counting on, that you will never come back and cancel that membership out of your pride. Well, I'm too proud to go back here and tell them I'm quitting. Okay, spend $75 a month for 10 months and then come back and tell me about your pride. Do you know how many cartons of cigarettes you can buy with $750? Okay, about five or seven, right? What I'm telling you is, your pride will cost you more than you're willing to pay,
Amen.
But you'll pay it anyway because your pride's that bad.
Amen.
But if you'll commit your what? Your works. Everything I do, Lord, I'm doing it for you. You know that'll keep you out of a lot of trouble, because everything you start to do, you'll think, is this really for him or not, you know? And he says, what'll be established? Let me speak in tongues for you. Cabeza. Your head. It'll get your head right. That's legitimate. Tell them what I said. Head. Cabeza. That's my interpreter right there. Listen. When you commit your works unto the Lord, your thoughts will be established. You'll commit yourself. And you're who you commit to again? The Lord. Are you in or out? See? Looking back over Psalm 37, he says this. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Over here, he said, commit thy works to the Lord. And he shall do one thing. It'll bring it to pass. Write down on your prayer list the date you started praying for something, and write out another word up beside it, answered, and put a colon out there and leave a blank out there so you can write the date when it gets answered.
Yeah.
And write that right there beside it. God will do that thing. You start praying his word back to him, he'll listen. He'll adjust himself to it, because that's what his contract is with you. The last verb down there is this word here, rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That goes to verse 1 and 2 up there. But here's our job, rest in the Lord. And it says wait patiently for him. Rest is to be placed as to stay in a specified position for one reason. You will fall apart if you do not. The late Oliver B. Green rode by some guys as preachers, and I hate golf because I can't play it. I've never been good at it, so I hate it. I think it's a sin because I can't do it. But if you do it, that's fine. Bless your heart. I tried. I can't do it. I picked up other bad habits, so I don't have to do that one. But he rode by a bunch of preachers playing golf, and he said this. This is a year before he died. He said, I wished I'd learned how to do something like that. And they said, why? He said, because I have worked 7 days a week all my life, and I'm miserable most days. Just miserable. Bad attitude all the time. He said, I never get no rest. I said, bless his heart. The deacons came to me back in 2002 and said, we're going to send you on vacation. And I had just heard that story. I said, when are we going? Brother Kirsten tried for 4 years to get me to do something, I think. No, I got to get to be busy for the Lord, you know. You got to take a rest sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes. Come apart and rest. Take a vacation. Take a day off every week. Just take a day where you don't do stuff. I ain't talking about from your job, from everything. Today's the day to cut grass on. So what day is that? Whatever day she'll do it, son. Whatever day she'll do it. There's a day to get everything done at your job. There's a day to get things done at your house, and God's provided you with a day of rest. Make sure you rest in the manner he says. Now watch how he said do it. In the Lord. We won't be surrounded by him doing it. Saturday is still the Sabbath day. That's a covenant between God and the Jew. Always has been. Not God and the Seventh-day Adventist.
Right.
I walked by that Seventh-day disadvantage today and I thought, I halfway want to show up Saturday just to holler at them on outside. Well, I'd stand outside and preach while they inside. Boy, that'd be aggravating, wouldn't it? They welcome to come down here and try it down here. We'll run them off if they come down here, though. But I thought, why would you rob yourself and try to say you're a Jew and don't keep none of the rest of the laws, but you're going to keep the Sabbath? And then you don't even do that in right. Do you know how when the Nazis invaded the country where they knew where the Jews was? They looked for the chimneys on Saturday. Smoke, smoke, no smoke, go rest them. They wouldn't even light a fire on Saturday. Can you imagine living in Europe in the winter not lighting a fire on Saturday? Ooh, that'd be cold. Hope you got a lot of blankets. They had a day of rest. When Christ came and died for us, he rose again on the first day of the week. The law was over. The law was a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. After you get saved, you worship the Lord on what? The first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16 tells about it. The book of Acts tells about it over and over in there. Here's the best part. You know what day of the week you rest on? That day. But don't you worship? Remember I said the end means you're surrounded by somebody or something? You're resting in the Lord. So what are we going to do? How are we going to do that? Well, look up Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to show you how to do that. Matthew chapter 11. Here's how you do it. I'm glad that the Lord has made all this stuff so plain that we can come to the Word of God, find out everything in here, and take it in. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus Christ, who happens to be the Lord, by the way, says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you that one word right there. All you that labor and heavy laden," he says, "take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden's light." So if he says, come to him, then how are we going to do that? Well, we come to him in salvation, and we let him guide our paths. We trust in him. We delight ourselves in him. We commit the works and we commit our ways to him. We're resting in him. That's how it's done. So wait a minute. That's too simple. Let me review with you. That's how simple it is.
Yeah.
People will spend their entire life chasing happiness. My happy place. Then they get there and run themselves to death and they're not happy and they come back and they're tired. I can't remember a time I said, it's Monday again since I've been saved. I can't remember a time saying that. But I can't remember too many before I got saved, because I always thought that was silly. Because to me, if you're working on Tuesday, that's bad as working on Monday. By the way, y'all hold on. I just met a guy at work with you a while ago. He didn't know they called that the bad place. I'll tell you his name later, right, in case he happens to tune in or somebody you know tunes in. But you can't go over there and find happiness. So why? It's 120 degrees. Can you be happy in 120 degrees? I can't neither. Brother Andy, preparation department Magnolia, and I'd walk through there. I'd be covered in sweat by the time I got to plant two where I worked at. Covered head to toe in sweat. Ain't even done a thing but walk through that department. And you know who's standing under the air conditioning the whole time? Y'all gonna think this is crazy. Ben Atkins. We didn't even know each other back then, but I remember him standing there because they brought, bring his air conditioning. Can you imagine what it costs to cool a building that's 120 degrees on the inside on a daily basis, 24 hours a day? I said, why y'all got air conditioning here? He said, because them guys would die in preparation if we didn't have something for them to stand under. I thought, man, what a nice guy you are for running that air conditioner. I really like you. Roger Middleton came through. I told him I appreciate the air conditioning. It don't work that good, but it's better than nothing. Wasn't you scared to get fired? Why? He couldn't hardly see me through them thick glasses. I wasn't worried about that. I just told him Ben Atkins said it, but listen to me. When you read that word rest, you come apart and rest. We went on vacation back in 2002, the first time we went, and we went to this place. I can't remember what exit it's on. It was the Bass Pro Shop exit. Don't judge. And we stayed in one of the big, nice motels over there. So what'd you do? Nothing. Every morning she woke up and heard water running. So what are you doing? I was filling up that big three-seater bathtub in there. So what are you trying to do? Rest. Rest. About an hour a day, I'd do something. About 23 hours a day, I'd rest. I figured it out. I was reading my Bible. My daily Bible reading was right here that morning. I thought, that's what you got. Just come apart before you come apart.
Yeah. Amen.
If you don't, the cost of that thing's higher than you want to pay.
Yeah.
Having a bad attitude towards somebody, snapping their head off when you ain't supposed to. That's somebody that had no rest. They hadn't committed their ways to the Lord. Their thoughts are on. Somebody told me just today, and I believe this to be true, an animal, especially a dog, will be as mean as you make that thing. I had a pit bull. Silliest animal I've ever had in my life. Wasn't mean to nobody except cats. He hated cats. I kind of halfway understand that. We got that big old goofy dog now. She's just starting to bark, but she sounds like a big thunder when you're crazy animal. Took her to the vet, and that big old thing's in Lisa's arm like a horse sitting up on Lisa, scared to death. They only as mean as you make them. But can I tell you another little secret? You only as mean as you are that you'll make yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. Rest. Rest will take away a lot of that stuff. Because if you learn to rest one day a week, you won't fly apart all the time.
Yeah.
Brother Randy, I believe we worked at Spring City, and they laid off one shift. Remember that we had? I have never understood this. Monday and Tuesday, off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, work 2 days, then you got 3 days off and 2 days on. I hated that. I never knew whether I was coming or going. And if we'd had to flop shifts in between that business, I'd never know when to work. That's how you work it, Brother Brad. You just work 12, off two, and jump in on third shift next night and come back.
It's better than the alternative.
Like not having a job, that's a very good alternative. I understand. But they told us, now listen to this. They said, we're going to have to have a layoff. We're going to have to lay off one entire shift. Business is bad, boys. It's bad. Don't laugh. I can tell the story yet. Not Jenna, him. So they laid off one entire shift. And I walked into work that day to find out I hadn't been laid off. I was like, well, I'm glad. I wished I'd have walked out the door that day. Because you know what I did for the next 5 weeks? Worked 7 days a week with no days off. He's laughing because he remembered that part of that story. We walked in from working two on, two off, three on, three off, to working seven straight for 5 weeks. I noticed every machine in that place started flying apart, and everybody operating machines was flying apart. And I'll never forget this old man in there. You know what he looked at our boss man and said? He said, y'all boys don't read the Bible. He said, even the Lord took a day off every week. And I thought about that, and I mean, I was a lost man thinking, I did remember that in the Bible. What are you doing to yourself? Are you resting? Are you committed? Are you delighting in the Lord? Are you trusting Him? Let me put it this way. Are you in or are you out? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.